midst of a persecuted world, a world that persecutes them. 60% of the world, 60 countries of the world persecute Christians. Very few in the world, very few that there are Christians in different countries of the world do not suffer some persecution. Book of Acts is a book that describes the persecution of the church and how the church thrived under that kind of persecution. I wonder, under point three, I wonder, will the United States one day, will it be a country that'll be on that list of 50 countries in the world? It might be. It might be. And then, is the New Testament church designed to function better in times of persecution? And so that's why I want to look at these questions this morning as we think about the persecuted Christians of the world. 22 million. These statistics come from either Open Door Ministry or Voice of the Martyrs. 22 million Christians have been martyred since the last 100 years, since 1915. 22 million Christians. Every day, 200 million Christians face persecution in the world. North Korea, Somalia, Iraq, Iran, Sudan, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria are the leading nations of the world persecuting Christians. 60% of those who are killed for their faith are children. Little children got caught in the crossfire of governments and people that oppose Christianity. 100,000 Christians are in prison in North Korea, the number one state sponsor of persecution of Christians in the world. That's amazing statistics when you think about the persecution that goes on today throughout the world. Look at the graphic on the bottom. Average number of Christians martyred for their faith per year, from the death of the Lord Jesus to 313 AD. That's the time of Constantine. Every year, about 5,400 Christians were martyred at that time. From 313 to 1900, 14,500 per year are martyred throughout the world. From 1900 to the present, per year, 455,000 are martyred for their faith in the Lord Jesus. The number one persecuted country in the world, according to the Pew Research study, are Christians. From 2006 to 2010, Christians, the most persecuted body of people in the world. We don't hear about that. Do you see that on the television at night when you watch the news? When you open the newspaper, do you see that in the newspaper? You don't see that. You don't see it. But it's the number one persecuted religion in the world. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3 says, remember the prisoners. Remember those who are taken and imprisoned for their faith and suffer because of their faith. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us to remember those prisoners who are imprisoned for their faith. But then it says something else. It says, as if chained with them. I want to think about that with you a little bit. As if you were chained with them. What does that mean? Can you imagine? I don't think we could even imagine what it means. In my mind, as I read those statistics and look at some of these countries, I don't know what it is to be a family in the Congo. I don't know what it is to be a family in these persecuted countries. I don't know what it means to be thrown in prison in North Korea. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means to be chained with them in those same prison cells. I don't think anybody here, unless you've been there, or even in a prison, to see one that used to be a prison, even to see it, we don't really know what it would be like. But I think we need to educate ourselves. I think we need to learn as much as we can about what their experience is. And part of the way is to watch some short DVDs, and I like to, as a church, from time to time on a Wednesday night, get clips, get little bits, and begin to educate ourselves so we can pray for our brothers and sisters. Our admonition is to remember prisoners those who are suffering for their faith, serving the Lord Jesus, and being persecuted and chained and imprisoned and sometimes killed, as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated since you were in the body. We are in the body of Christ. I like what Edgar said. He said, there's not the persecuted church and the non-persecuted church, and we're two separate churches. No, we're one body. Someone in your family suffers. We suffer with them. Someone in your immediate family or your extended family, a grandmother, an aunt, or an uncle, when you know they are suffering, you feel with them. When your child is suffering, you are part of that same body. And so you feel with them. The writer of the Hebrews says we're part of the same body. We are a worldwide church, and we should empathize, have compassion, be able to pray for support all that we can for those in the persecuted world. The New American Standard Version says, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. I like the NIV. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as you yourself are suffering. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 4:18, he says, this salutation is by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. It's amazing how many times we read in Scripture, how often we read in Scripture, prisons and chains and being punished and being persecuted in the New Testament for the faith of believers. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, he says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As I was reading through the New Testament this week and reading, as thinking about these things, I was just struck by how often the early church, early Christians, suffered for their faith, were killed, were persecuted for their faith. Stephen was the first martyr in the New Testament, in the New Testament church, for his faith. It says that James was taken and killed with a sword, probably beheaded for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 12. We read of persecutions over and over again in the book of Acts, and all through the New Testament. It's a record of the church under persecution, but triumphant in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at some pictures of a number of people that are being persecuted for their faith. Saeed Abedini, Iranian-born, former Muslim, who came to faith in the Lord Jesus, a U.S. citizen, a pastor in California. He went to help some families and some believers in Iran. He went to help and to build an orphanage. He took 9 trips there. He didn't do any preaching. He went to a number of house churches, but he was arrested, and he was sentenced in 2012 to 8 years. And those 8 years in prison were the hardest and most difficult prisons in Iran. Iran, one of the top 10 nations of severe persecution against Christians. He's been beaten. He's been deprived from food and many human rights. But he was persecuted because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of persecution we think of believers in other countries. This is something that took place in 1999. Probably many of us know about it, remember it. 2 young men, 2 students, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, went into a high school, Columbine High School, 1999. They were armed with weapons, automatic weapons, and large amount of ammunition. And they went to a library, went to classes, and began to shoot classmates. But they asked a question to some of those classmates, especially in a library. They met 2 young girls. They were only juniors in high school, Rachel Scott and Cassie Bernal. And they asked me one question. You know what the question was? I think probably all of us remember. Are you a Christian? They said, yes. That's why a book about her life, She Said Yes. and she was killed. She was shot with an automatic weapon because she was a Christian. It happens in the United States. Understand, in the Oregon, recent Oregon shooting, again, they asked, a man there asked a question, are you a Christian? And the person who answered was shot because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rachel Scott and Cassie Burnham both said, yes, I am a Christian. Persecution for your faith, death for your faith, even happens in the United States. I guess it can happen any of us in any place at any time, not only in schools, it can happen anywhere. 21 Egyptian Christians didn't have work in Egypt, in Cairo, Egypt. They were looking for work. And they heard there was work in Libya. And so 21 of them, many of them went to look for work in Libya, but 21 were captured by ISIS. And the names of those 21 are there. There's websites about their lives. They were taken, all 21, to the edge of the Red Sea in Tripoli on the beach. They were dressed in prison uniforms. Then each one of them were asked a few questions. First of all, the jihadists called them the people of the cross. And then they asked them a question. Well, before they asked them the question, they sang hymns. Can you imagine that? All were singing hymns at the edge of that beach, knowing probably what would happen. Can you imagine that? That wasn't recorded. It wasn't reported in the news reports that I heard. Lastly, each one was given a chance to deny Christ and convert to Islam, and they would be freed. Each one refused. All of them refused. What an amazing thing. I think about myself. I'm not sure what I would do in that situation. In this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The Bible says they hated you. They hated me. They will also hate you. In this world, all, not so much in the United States. There may be other kinds of persecution in our country. There's also physical persecution. Each month, 322 Christians die for their faith. 214 churches are burned or destroyed. 772 acts of violence are perpetrated against Christians. Beatings, abductions, rapes, arrests, imprisonment. And we're called, remember those who are prisoners. Remember those who are in bonds. Remember those who are in chains. One Christian is killed every 11 minutes in this world. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Marks of the persecuted church. Wasn't sure how to approach this message this morning. Wasn't sure how to look at the scriptures. How to encourage us to pray more. But what I want to do is I want to look together with you about some marks of the persecuted church that's in the scriptures, but also some marks, and these are marks that observers of the persecuted churches and Christians throughout the world will say, but also reflect in the Word of God. Same things that are mentioned by observers of the persecuted church are the same things we find in the Word of God. Some marks: a holy boldness in witness for Christ. That happened in the book of Acts. It happens also in the world today. Greater intensity in their prayer life. Increased awareness of our weakness. Great love and fellowship among believers. And greater sensitivity to the will of God. But I want to look at three things with you. Now turn with me to the book of Acts and chapter 4. I think one of the first things I see as I look at the book of Acts and I look at these Christians is a sense of weakness. It's an amazing thing that when are we strong? When are we the most powerful? When are we able to do the most? The book of Acts and Christians today throughout the world, in Congo, in Egypt and Libya, wherever it may be. They have no money. They have no buildings. That Christian missionary who was talking about the Congo, the buildings were destroyed. They had no money. Everything was lost. Fathers were killed. Mothers were killed in some cases. They had no money, no buildings, no government support, no Bible schools, no military at their disposal. They had opposition from religion, from government, opposition from religion. They had no specialist they could go to and say, what do we do next? Well, that's a weak people, isn't it? That's a people that you might be characterized by weakness. Look at chapter 4. I'm just going to read a few verses to set the stage of chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Verse 1, and as they spoke unto the people and the priests and the captain of the temple, they came upon them. Being grieved, they taught the people and preached Jesus the resurrection, through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands upon them and put them in custody the next day, put them in jail. But many of them believed and heard the word, believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So they came, and they came before Annas and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all the family of the high priest, men who could put them to death. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 8, said unto the rulers and the people and the elders. The early church had no money, they had no power, they had no government. They were opposed by the government, they were opposed by the religion of that day. Weakness. He says, if we this day be examined for the good deed we have done, by means this man is made well, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you well. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's an amazing thing. Here, their lives hang in the balance. And Peter stands up. Weakness. They didn't have anything. But at the same time, boldness. Look at verse 29 with me. They go back to their own. They go back to their little gathering. How many they had at this point, we're not sure. It was 5,000 men were saved. How many were in Jerusalem at this time, we're not sure. They go back to their gathering, and they explain and talk about all that took place. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. Verse 24, and when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord, thou art God who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it. I love this. They have nothing. And what do? They pray. They pray. They say, you are the God of heaven and earth. You are the God who made all things. And we come and we beseech you. It says, remember, verse 25, remember in the times of David when the nations raged against David and his little company. And he says, remember, verse 27, the truth. And the Lord Jesus also was persecuted by some of the same peoples in his own day. And verse 29, he says, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. Weakness. They didn't have anything. But they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They come in prayer to God, and they lay it all before him. And they don't say, Lord, keep us from going into prison. Keep us from being killed. Keep our wives and our children from losing possessions, losing our homes. Out of great weakness, they beseech the Lord, pour their hearts out to the Lord, but they say, Lord, grant that your servants might speak with boldness. What a lesson to us. What an encouragement to us that we would pray with the same kind of boldness under the same kind of persecution. I think it was on Wednesday night, Edgar said to me, what would happen? How would we act if the whole parking lot, the whole street, were full of men with guns and weapons? How would we pray? How would we act? Well, we would act differently. We would pray differently. We would pray like them in verse 29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant your servants boldness and strength to preach your word. One characteristic was weakness. Another characteristic, and turn to chapter 12 with me, is prayer. A little later, they were taken again in persecution. In chapter 12, we find that the leaders were taken right before Passover. James was killed with the sword. But verse 5 is the key verse. It says they intended to take him before the people after Passover and have him put to death. But verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But notice this phrase. There's five different things that are mentioned about their prayer, this New Testament prayer under persecution. But prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. Let's look at these five things. Earnest. Prayer was made. Now we'll find, if we were to read this whole chapter, we will find that they prayed through various nights. And the whole church continued to pray. They began, it says, the prayer was made. The church began to pray. Look down at verse 12. In verse 12, Peter's released from prison. When they had considered the thing, they came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. 3 days later, many were still gathered together praying. Sometimes when we pray, and I'm just the same way, if we have an hour of prayer meeting, I think that's kind of long. But I'm inspired and encouraged to see these people pray. When the need is great, you pour your hearts out in prayer. They were earnest in their prayer. They were constant with their prayer, without ceasing. You know, this word we have here, this Greek word that's translated without ceasing, is the same word for fervent. It's the same word of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when he prayed there and he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. It said he prayed more earnestly and he sweat, as it were. That's the kind of prayer, that's the kind of word that's used here for prayer. Earnest prayer, constant prayer, united prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing by the church. Church are just believers coming together, interceding to God. You know, prayer in the book of Acts is mentioned 31 times. Over and over again, they prayed. It's only 28 chapters of the book of Acts. More than one time per chapter, the church prayed. I like what it says. Prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God. You know, it's almost assumed, of course, who are they praying for? You didn't even have to put that in. But I like that it's there. Unto God. For him. Five tremendous things. They were a praying church. They were bold in their witness. Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, many years ago, they asked him to recant. He said, 86 years have I, he has done me no wrong. I will not deny him now. Over and over again, we see them preaching with boldness. We read in 4:29, grant us boldness to speak your word. Turn with me back just for a moment. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 5. I love Acts chapter 5. What boldness we see in their testimony. Our time is almost finished. Look at verse 19. They were preaching again. In verse 17 and 18, they laid hands on them, put them in prison. Verse 19, but an angel came by night and opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. They were told previously, don't say anything more in this name. Now they're put in prison a second time. An angel comes and releases them and says, keep on preaching. And what would you do? Would you say, well, I'm glad I'm out of prison. Maybe I'll just find the fastest way out of this town. But they didn't do that. When they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. And the high priest came and they called the council together. Said, we thought they were in prison. What happened? We thought they were in prison. They went to the prison. They found it empty. And they went down. They went down into the temple area. And they say in verse 20, did not we strictly command you that you should not preach in this name? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Peter says in verse 29 of chapter 5, we ought to obey God rather than men. What a testimony. Boldly preaching, boldly praying, relying on God in their witness. We want to close. Just give me a 1 or 2 minutes left. You know what's very interesting? The countries where there's the greatest persecution is the greatest request for Bibles. This is from the Bible Society. You can't see very well, but in Syria, one of the 10 most persecuted countries in the world, requests for Bibles have gone up by 758%. From 19,000 scriptures in 2012 to 163,000 scriptures. It's amazing. The church, the little church or believers or Muslims who live there, in this persecution of believers, the request for Bibles skyrocket. Egypt, by request for Bibles up 25%. In Iraq, up 132%, from 28,000 requests to 63,000. In India, up 19%. In Laos, up 159%, from 7,985 scriptures to 20,000. It's an amazing thing that where there is more persecution, there's a greater interest in the Word of God. God is beginning to move. Dan prayed this statement. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It was mentioned by Tertullian in about 240 AD. In the days of persecution in the early church, Nigeria up 5%. One last picture. Worldwide conversion to Christianity. Where in the world are most people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus? Now, we see one place very boldly, very easily, where they are not very much coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is that? North America. But where there's persecution, the blue is evangelical growth faster than population growth. It's amazing. China, Russia, many of the Muslim countries, only a few in Africa are not coming faster than population growth. It is amazing. Japan over there, not coming. Scandinavian countries are not. But North America, very few. It's an amazing thing that where there is persecution. Now, Edgar said, well, maybe we should pray for persecution. I'm not going that far. But we do see where there is persecution, there is fast conversion growth. Requests for Bibles, all those marks of revival in those countries where the greatest persecution takes place. What can we learn? Let's remember the persecuted church. Let's care about them, support them, do what we can. There are some magazines in the back from the Voice of the Martyrs. There's only two of them. We can get more later. But let's, as a body of believers, let's try as we can to learn more about the persecuted countries of the world and support them. Pray for them. Support them financially. I think in coming months, we want to support this work that Everyday Publication is doing and getting Bibles into those persecuted and to Congo and other places. One last thing. Websites, if you want to go to the Voice of the Martyr website, it's not voiceofthemartyr.com, it is persecution.com. And if you want to go to Open Doors, opendoorusa.org. May we be Christians that support our brothers and sisters in persecution. Our God and Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for all that we have learned about our brothers and sisters all through the world who suffer